two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for participating in the program. Hey, any of our show you can find via podcast in any of the places you download your podcast from. So there's that, and you can also go over to kslsports.com and click the podcast button and find the shows. Segment by segment, we break this thing down. It's a great way to catch up on what we were talking about today. And you can also download the KSL Sports app and stream the show all day long with that. Joining us right now on the program, speaking of KSLSports.com, he is our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. He does the Cougar Tracks podcast, among so many other things. Mitch Harper joining us on the program. What's going on, Mitch?
Not much, guys. Happy to be on with you. It was kind of fun today to see the TV kickoff times and kick times released. It's feeling more real for BYU that they're going to be, you know, part of this Big 12 and kind of see, you know, what this is going to look like. So it was another kind of mile marker in the off season, the countdown to football.
So it's exciting to see the times. What did you think of the times? What do you like about them? Don't like?
Well, I think it showed in week one, you know, BYU plays a late night game against Sam Houston. It's a nice little, you know, kind of preview for the Big 12 to test that fourth late night window with the central time zone viewer, because Sam Houston's based out of Texas. And I think that's, again, the power of BYU being in the West. And I just, this area of the country, you know, teams in this part of the region, it's not ideal for the fans per se having those late night games. But if you want to be on linear television instead of just a streaming platform, that fourth window can be valuable. And that was the case with BYU and Sam Houston going on FS1, and, you know, BYU getting a primetime slot in week three against Arkansas, I thought was quite noteworthy. And I think also too, you know, week two, BYU plays Southern Utah, the game that would always been a BYU TV game. That's now going to a streamer with ESPN Plus and Big 12 Now. And, you know, the expectation with all of that, because I know Cougar fans have been wondering what's going on with BYU TV and all that. I would expect that it's going to be, you know, the same broadcasters that you've grown used to with BYU TV. It's just going to be packaged on the ESPN Plus platform. And, you know, I think BYU will probably have a good production value there because it's all in-house production with those Big 12 teams. So, but it's, you know, exciting for BYU to get closer to the season, get those kick times and see some primetime spots.
Mitch, one of the things that we've kind of been watching too is this July 1 time frame to where some teams could get added. Is the Big 12 really interested in adding teams? And when you see these names that are out there, your UConn's, Gonzaga for basketball, I know you haven't been a huge fan of that idea. Colorado, of course, gets thrown out there because, you know, they feel confident enough. I have no idea why to be like, yeah, we're going to look at the best for us. I don't know. And then I think Memphis was the most recent rumor, and a lot of them are just rumors. So is there any sort of validity? Is the Big 12 really that interested to add teams for the sake of just adding teams?
That would be the wrong move, and you'd have to think that if that's the case, you know, Brett Yormark, maybe his lack of college experience would be shining through if that was the approach. I don't think it's that way. I you know, Colorado should leave the Pac-12 yesterday. I mean, they would be a great fit in the Big 12, and, I mean, there's history there dating back to their days in the Big 7. I don't know what they're waiting for unless they know something that none of us know about a lucrative TV deal from the Pac. They should move on and head on to the Big 12, where the markets that are in the Big 12 will actually maybe have an interest in going to games to Boulder and actually show up and maybe make an atmosphere again at Folsom Stadium. So Colorado absolutely should go. You know, these teams like Memphis, I think that's a dud. I don't think that, you know, I mean, they've got good basketball. That's the thing that's interesting with Yormark is that, you know, he clearly wants basketball, separate media rights entity. Maybe after 2031, they position this league to be just this, you know, big moneymaker on the basketball side. Because with the NCAA tournament likely expanding to 90-plus teams in a few years, you know, Big 12, if you expand with UConn and Memphis and Gonzaga, those teams are going to probably be in the big dance. You're looking at, what, 13, or, you know, to 10, 12 teams in the NCAA tournament. That's going to be NCAA tournament units, which is money. And, you know, TV properties are going to like, you know, those college basketball matchups in the season. But, you know, I still think you got to have a lot of focus on football, in my opinion, because I feel like college basketball does not, you know, move the national, you know, revenue needle like it once did. I think football still got to be the big driver. That's why I think Colorado, all eyes on the Pac-12 team, should be the focus right now. And then maybe see what you can do in 2031 when your next media rights are up, potentially with the ACC, if you know, because they still got a long deal with 2036. But I don't think they should jump the gun with anyone like Gonzaga or Memphis at the moment.
Joe Klatt had an article about, well, I'm not going to ask you that question. I'll ask you a different one. I might ask that question in a minute. But
sounds controversial, yeah.
So looking at BYU's schedule this year in football, what is the, we're going to have a discussion about this at some time, but I'm curious to get your thoughts, Mitch. What is the game this year that's like a must-win game for BYU on that schedule?
Week 4 against Kansas. I think that is the must-win. Because Kansas is much improved, but still, their talent is they're not deep. They've got a good starting 11 on offense. They're explosive on the offensive side. Kansas in the trenches defensively, though, BYU's O-line should be able to, I think, outclass Kansas in the trenches. I think that's a game, maybe from what you get, maybe you're buying in a little bit to the logo on the helmet and the perception of Kansas football, but to me, that's a must-win. And I think if you do win that, it's a real tone-setter for BYU to maybe have a chance starting 2-0 in conference play with Cincinnati the following week. So I think that Kansas game, to me, is a must-win. And it could really be a narrative opportunity for BYU. Like, you know, you come into the Big 12, it's a competitive league, but BYU's ready to compete. And I think so that one, to me, is the one I look at and say that is the must-win that BYU needs to get.
Mitch Harper joining us here on Unrivaled as we kind of move through some of what the college football landscape looks like in the off season and then getting toward that Big 12 moment. I look at some of the things that BYU is, you know, just gearing up for and how excited the program is, you know, everybody surrounding the program is about this official join on July 1. So we were looking at these lists and we were looking at the ones that that are must-win games for BYU. And I toggle between, I think, fans, because the more we're removed from actual football, Mitch, I think we convince ourselves that BYU will be better than they probably should be or worse. So which one is it for you? Like, have you built over time this idea of, no, I actually like more and more what BYU's chances are? Do you look at it and go, man, this is getting more and more difficult?
I like what BYU has done in the transfer portal. They got a top 25 transfer portal class. the portal's pretty much dried up. So we're kind of getting some finality when it comes to that. And that movement is really simmering down as these coaching staffs now shift to summer camp season coming up in June. So it feels like the rosters are coming into place. And I feel like what BYU's done, I'm actually putting together my transfer portal recap from the Big 12. And I feel like BYU sits quite nicely with what they've done. I feel like they, you know, they got some core pieces with, you know, obviously Keaton Slovis is a notable one, but I feel like Aiden Robbins at running back was a real difference maker. I think he's going to come in and be an instant impact guy, not only for BYU, but potentially the Big 12 conference. He's really good, and he's going to be a perfect fit in BYU's, you know, wide zone scheme. I think of the rounding back position. I think also the O-line is a lot better too. You know, I said that last week with you guys, but I feel like that's given me reason for optimism there. And I think, too, that BYU, I think, has a better coaching staff as well. You know, it's interesting with BYU, things take time. You know, we see that, we hear that all the time when it comes to BYU, things take time. Well, it took Kalani 8 years to get the staff that really he maybe dreamed of when he took this job. He had to sort through Ty and kind of being, you know, told you're going to have him as the offensive coordinator, and then he was left with nothing much else. Now he's got career-minded Power 5 coaches dotting his entire staff. They're relentless on the recruiting trail. And I think that alone gives you a little bit more reason for optimism that they could be a surprise or a spoiler. I still think on the high end, 7 wins is probably the highest I would be willing to say for this team. But I just think that BYU, there's not many games where they're going to be completely outclassed. I think the only game that I would look at and say BYU is going to be a, you know, probably 3-touchdown underdog would probably be Texas. Everything else you would feel like, you know, there could be a shot that BYU is, you know, pulls the upset here, or they could, you know, string it, you know, be very competitive at a minimum. So I think that those things, you know, give BYU reason for optimism heading in. And I think there is also a case of, you know, Keaton Slovis has really taken the mantle of being a leader of the team. You know, last week he was at the service project with the NIL collected that BYU has, and they were with a bunch of players. Cody Epps was there, and just he's the leader of the team. And that's been something that's been a surprise that I didn't expect to happen so soon. But I think it's tangible. And I think he's really embraced everything about BYU. It almost feels like he's been a guy that's been around here for so long. And when you talk to him and you hear what he's saying about BYU. So all of that combined, I feel like that's what's created maybe a feeling that they could be a little bit better than many would say they could be.
Yeah, it's a good point about that staff. Just gets better and better. So there's an article that showed up in the Salt Lake Tribune about over-promising, under-delivering on some NIL deals. How much of that do you hear about at BYU? Is it an accurate statement? Is it what's kind of the feedback? Because I don't know that anyone really knows, or do they?
Well, I think a lot of that, you know, was summed up by the fact of BYU athletes didn't get their cut of the Cougar Tail Built Bar box deal. And, you know, I'm someone who follows all the promoting of stuff these players and coaches and brands are doing in regards to BYU NIL. And outside of the first 5 days from my tracking, I wasn't seeing much promotion on that. And when you drill it down, it's, you know, being talked about over $180. I don't know how big of a deal that really is. You know, the Yokavu thing with the NFTs, you know, that from the get-go seemed like it was dead in the water at the moment that it was announced, because NFTs were, you know, it kind of seemed like they were an afterthought. I mean, I'm not going to be an expert on NFTs by any stretch, but it seemed like that was already behind the eight ball. And you look at some of the prices of what some of the NFTs cost, you go, I don't know if I want to spend $10,000 on this Isaac Rex 18-yard catch that's a highlight video. I don't know, like, the concept of how that, you know, equals into a massive value. I mean, whoever did, hopefully those players are getting that cut, and that's where you do hope that there is, they're getting their rightful share. But, you know, the Built Bar thing, you know, there's another entity coming into the mix for BYU. Feastbox has been a player that's kind of emerged as another team-wide sort of deal coming up this fall for BYU. I think that there, you probably poke at a lot of programs, say there's been these, you know, grand, you're going to be making all this tons of money in NIL. But I think I just think that BYU has done a pretty good job with so far with their NIL. I mean, some of these, I can't speak for all these certain companies what they're exactly promising these players, but for the most part, sounds like the walk-ons that have been invested into that Bill Barr deal, they got their share. Scholarship players have got their $1,000. That was the core essence of the Built Bar deal, and that's been, you know, been delivered. It's that Cougar Tail, you know, fee or whatever, the share from that,
sure,
that they haven't got. So I think that BYU's in an okay spot with NIL. I don't think they're ever going to be a leader in the space when it comes to delivering massive amounts of dollars, but I think they've been, you know, pretty solid in their kind of unique approach of trying to find ways that can maybe give a cut to pretty much everyone on the team.
It seems like a space that's so complicated already that, you know, understanding even what the deals are on paper, we look at it and go, oh, it's just cut and dry like this. And the reality is that these deals might be a little bit more convoluted than we may have thought from, you know, beforehand. Or, you know, I don't know what the contract looks like with these guys exactly. And when you make these announcements and you go, yeah, we're planning to do X, Y, and Z, these players are required to do something as well on top of it. And so some of it, I don't know if it was players who had left. It was some sour grapes with all that. But, you know, it seems like it's such a hard space to regulate, because then you look at it and you go, so what's the reality here? Is somebody being shorted here, or is a program being maligned or a company being maligned when they shouldn't be? That's the part where I think it just points to a regulatory body that we do not have right now in the NIL space, and just the need that there is to be able to get somebody out there and doing the right thing and making sure they're looking out for the institution, these companies, and the kids.
Yeah, and I think also, too, it's just another example that I think there needs to maybe stop having sometimes the kid gloves when it comes to covering, you know, college athletes. This is becoming more and more business. We're going to see more talk about, you know, people getting upset over certain deals and certain, like, let's have more transparency when it comes to injury reports. Let's have conference-wide injury reports. If we want to continue to shift more where people are getting hand-wringing over these certain deals, well, let's continue to make it more of a business, because you continue to open up these can of worms and mediums like this, you start to go more in on the players. I think everyone starts to, you know, when it comes to college sports, I think a lot of people look at it from the thought of, it's kind of an unwritten rule where you focus more on the coaching staff. You put blame when there's blame to be had on the staff or maybe administration, never on the players specifically as a collective whole. Yes, but you kind of, but now it's like, if it continues to shift more and more, then, you know, you start to then start placing blame. Cause I think a lot of college staffs, they kind of cover this. They always kind of like to, you know, err on the side of caution and always have like avoiding answers when it comes to personnel and injuries with players because they're kids. That's what it's brought up. But then on the flip side, there's this hand wringing over this dollar, this money. It's like, well, if we want to make this completely a full-blown business, like we already know it is, but like let's just call it what it is, well, then it kind of changes the whole dynamic of how we view these players going forward, I think, in the future.
Well, okay, then if you want to take the kid gloves off, Nick Saban says hire them, make them employees. Do you like that idea?
Sorry, cut out a little bit there.
I thought it was a full-on, very rare Mitch Harper,
yeah,
no,
he's
comment.
Like, he's like speechless. Wow. It's like, well, ask him a question.
No.
What I was saying.
What was that?
What I was saying is, you talk about taking the kid gloves off, then, and treating these athletes different. Nick Saban has come out and actually said, I don't have a problem having these players become employees.
Yeah, and I think honestly, guys, you kind of wonder too, and I'm just kind of, you know, on this thought here, just kind of spitballing here, but you think, but I think that, you know, with conference realignment and the chase for TV dollars and revenue and having all that necessary money, I mean, is that the next phase of this sport where you're trying to identify the conferences that are willing to get to that point to avoid potential antitrust lawsuits? Which leagues are willing to really embrace that game? And maybe, you know, and maybe this is the indirect way that the Big 12 is showing they want to eventually, you know, have enough resources and capital to play that game. And, you know, we know that the SEC seems like they're willing to do that. The Big 10, when their previous commissioner, Kevin Warren, he was even telling HBO that, you know, we're going to get to a point where college athletes are, you know, becoming employees and making a cut of these media rights deals. And, you know, maybe that's the next chapter in all of this. It is interesting because, and I think that the NIL space too is a lot better than I think that it sometimes gets painted as. I mean, I think that NIL is often looked at as this, just this nasty thing that, you know, players are demanding this. I think that, you know, a lot of it more so, at least from the guys that I've interacted with on the BYU beat, they're not becoming millionaires. None of these guys are making these lucrative deals. A lot of, like, even Malik Moore told me, I'm getting enough money to, you know, pay my, get my groceries that I want at home in my apartment and things like that. It's nothing groundbreaking, but it's enough to maybe cover some loose ends in their personal lives. But there's more money to be had for sure as we get more knowledge and intel and education on NIL and maybe the pros and cons of what works and what doesn't. And eventually there could come a day with paying the athletes and making them employees. I'm honestly not against that at this point, because then it becomes a little bit more, a little bit more of a situation where it's kind of like pro sports. Like, it just feels like we're kind of blurring the lines a little bit at the moment, where it's parts of the sport is definitely kind of feeling pro. Other aspects, we're still trying to maintain the collegial, you know, historical, you know, aspect of college sports and amateurism. I don't know. It's a fascinating thing, and maybe that is the next iteration that we do see down the road with after the 12-team playoff, era concludes.
Mitch Harper joining us on the program. Mitch, we threw past Jeremiah Jensen the idea of a Airbnb where the entire KSL sports staff that's going down to Texas for the Big 12 Media Day. We would it would basically be like an old school MTV. What was that show?
Real World.
Real World KSL Sports Edition, and we do it in, like, you know, there's a confession room where it's just like, I don't like Mitch's attitude. I mean, he comes in here and he's like, I'm a BYU expert around here. Like, we need to be able to do something along these lines. In the day we're trying to make content out of everything, we got to all be in one house. And I'd prefer that it was like a 2-bedroom for 7 guys kind of a situation. I'm just saying, I'm spitballing here. I'm throwing it out there. But our Airbnb down in Arlington is catching a little bit of steam.
I like that idea, and I think you're right. When we need to monetize and make content for everything that we're doing, I think that's a great idea, having a real house, real world Big 12 Media Days with KSL Sports. I like that idea.
Let's go.
Our fans don't want to hear this. They really don't.
They're like, I don't know. I just don't like the way that Scott's been treating me. I don't know. Just get a little bit personal. That's the way people want to see it. All right, Mitch, thanks for hanging out, and thanks for the breakdown here. And we're still trying to plan on what holiday we're going to make out of BYU's first day in the Big 12 as well come July. So start thinking about that one as well. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, you bet, guys. Yeah, I think BYU's going to have a fan fest. Don't know the location yet, but they're going to – yeah, it should be the Big 12 days coming up sooner than we think.
It. All right, let's do it. Mitch, we'll talk to you again, man. Thanks.
Okay, see ya.
There you go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we do, we've got ourselves a couple things to jump into here still. We're gonna grind into this next version of this. The kick times are released, as we were talking about. What those kick times actually are, and the must wins for both Utah and BYU coming up in 2023. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Time for check of track.
All right, guess where we're at today? We are on the road, and we told you about this all week. We're at the Be Prepared Expo here at the Legacy Event Center in Farmington. If you don't know where that is, I mean, it's easy to get to. It's right off the freeway here in Farmington. You take that, if you know where Farmington Station is, just south of that, easy to find. And the Be Prepared Expo is so you can do exactly that. Get your house prepared, get yourself prepared. And running this whole thing is Chris Turpin, who is helping us out today. If somebody has never been to one of these, Chris, what do we tell them about what they can expect and what kind of fun stuff they can get into and what kind of things they could at least learn this weekend?
We've got over 60 classes they can go to, and they can learn all about all the ABCs, you know, from first aid to zombie bites, right? Everything, you know, emergency bug out bags, freeze-dried food, purified water. Tents, whatever they may need, we've got something for them. They can just start out.
So this goes from tomorrow, June 2nd, to Saturday, June 3rd. You have hourly prizes and giveaways, and I wanted to ask you a question. So people, can they get tickets here, or do you have to get them online, or can you get them online?
Well, if you get them online, you get a discount. If you come before, if you get them before 12 o'clock tomorrow, you can get them for $8 a person or $20 per family of four. If you get them at the door, it's $25 for family of four and $10 per person. But you can get them here.
Sure. You see what they're doing there, Scott? If you're prepared and you do it beforehand. You see what we're doing here, right? Okay. So come down, Legacy Event Center, tomorrow, June 2nd, all the way through Saturday, and 60-plus classes. We saw them unloading all the ammo here as well. So on top of all the stuff they're going to be doing here, if you're looking for some ammo as well, you can also get that. So Chris and his team put together an amazing situation here at Legacy Event Center, just south of Farmington Station, easy to find. So BePreparedExpo.com. It's BePreparedExpo.com. We'll be back. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled. It's 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you missed any portion of the show, you can always download the KSL Sports app. You can also go to the website, kslsports.com. All the write-ups that we have on all of your local and national and professional levels right here on KSLSports.com. And then you can listen to the KSL Sports Zone there. You can find the shows, download Scott and I, anywhere you find fine podcasts as well. Do we get it all in there? Everything there, man?
Yeah. You did good, Alex.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No, you keep your head on straight.
You may find a career.
You might. Mm-hmm. You might turn out okay.
All right.
God willing, you know.
Yeah, as they say in Spanish, si Dios quiere, basically the same thing. It's like, you'll be successful only if God wants, okay? Sorry. That's where we have to draw the line. Hey, we got lots going on here on the show. Let's jump in right now, and then let's get going with the cut so we can get into what this wild, wild west has turned even more wild with Colorado threatening to move to another conference. I'm not even sure if that conference wants him, but, you know, the rumors are flying. So here we go. It's the cut. Let's do it.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right. The cut and our program is always brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. The word is substantive. It is really tasty and substantial. Speaking of substantive, it's what you call a segue, Scott.
Isn't that a thing you ride around on and you lean? The kind of momentum?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say a substantive. No. That is a segue.
No,
you're
a segue,
right.
Yeah.
In this particular case, the curious case of Colorado, where Dennis Dodd is now reporting that substantive conversations are going on right now around the possibility of Colorado leaving the Big 12. Scott, right off the bat, I want to know what you're going to do with that longtime rivalry that the Colorado Buffaloes and the Utah Utes have had for so long.
There goes the Rocky Mountain Oyster Cup. I mean,
What are we going to do? Shot to heck.
Over.
What are we going to do now?
And actually, it looked like it might turn into a rivalry with Coach Prime now. I mean, that could get fun. And it's going to just going to get blown up before we ever have that opportunity to have that rich experience. Here's the thing that I can't figure out, okay? Dennis Dodd kind of dying on a sword. You know,
he's going
like,
after
like,
it, man.
Like he's mm-hmm. So he either knows something or he's being fed a line. Like he's being used.
Someone's using him as a misdirector.
As a way to kind of create kind of chaos a little bit or angst around what's happening here. Because it none of this makes sense with anything that we've been told, we've heard, we kind of expect. And that is that all of the schools that remain in the Pac-12 are all together. Nobody's going anywhere. They're going to get a media rights deal done. They believe it's going to be better than what the Big 12 has. And maybe the Big 12 is trying to sabotage it because they know it's going to be a better deal. And if they can sabotage it before it ever happens, then they won't look so bad. I mean, who knows the motivation behind? And this is all speculation on my part. But, you know, you have to look at this and just reasonably say, why are they bringing this up? And they either are because it's true, and what we've been told is not true, that these teams aren't all together, these schools, and that it's kind of every university for themselves, and this is blowing up before their eyes. It's a fiasco going on. I mean, or Dennis Dodd is being played. And I don't know. I believe when you hear, you know, what Colorado is saying. And I think if you're smart as an AD, you got to look at all your options.
Well, that's all they said, right? Like, yeah. That's the part where he goes, because Rick George, who's the athletic director at Colorado, the quote that was thrown out there before we even got off the air on Friday was, we're members of the Pac-12 and we're proud members. And we've got to see where our media rights deal lands and where our conference is going to go. In a perfect world, we're going to stay in the Pac-12. We'd love to be there. But we have the word but gets everybody thrown into a tizzy, but we have to do what's right for Colorado at the end of the day. We'll evaluate things as we move forward. Every school has that same exact approach. If they don't, they're dumb, right?
I think so.
Blind, just like, I'm going to stay loyal while the ship's going down. Like, yeah. I'm going to keep playing the music while the ship's going down. That's not a thing. All these people are smart, and they will find the best place to go, and that situation might change. So in that sense, Rick George hasn't said anything crazy because all the schools are saying this. They're going, we have to make sure and take care of ourselves, because while we are loyal to one another right now and we feel like a Pac-10, a group of 10 in the Pac-12 right now going forward, we're all sticking with this thing in solidarity, but we'd be dumb if we didn't keep our ears open to figure out what's going to be the best thing.
I think he did say something that was interesting and should be kind of, I don't know, maybe examined a little bit, and that is, in a perfect world, we'd love to be in the Pac-12. So what's the definition of a perfect world for Colorado and the Pac-12 today? Is it a media rights deal that's far superior than the Big 12? Is it?
Why does that have to be the gate? Like, why does that have to be the hurdle to clear? But is it a good enough thing where we're better than the Big 12? But the reality is how all is right, well, it, how me, is Colorado me, going to the Big 12 benefit the Big 12? The Big 12 should go, hey, man, I don't know. Yeah, thanks. Can you bring somebody else? Can you bring Utah? Can you bring ASU?
Well, the appeal is the Colorado had ESPN watching their spring game. They put 45,000 people in their stadium, and that's an attention that they haven't seen. I don't know that many schools have seen if you're outside the SEC and maybe the Big Ten. And if they're banking it on, because Deion's the only thing that you could bank it on. It's certainly not what Colorado has done in its entire time in the Pac-12, because it's been abysmal. And the cupboards were beyond bare when Coach Prime showed up. And Coach Prime, I don't think is going to stay. I just, for the life of me, I don't think he can. And I don't want to use the word ego, but the way he's wired with his, he has to be the center of the universe, and he has to have that attention on him. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just his style, and he actually flourishes in a style like that. he relishes being the center of what's going on. And I don't think Colorado is big enough. I don't think, and certainly if it goes to the Big 12, it's not going to be big enough for Coach Prime. I think Coach Prime is priming himself for his big move.
So here's
and his big move to me is Florida State.
That's why this needs to settle down a little bit, because if a lot of this is based off of what does Colorado have, and then everybody's answer is, well, Coach Prime right now, the energy surrounding him. If everything is, if all of this, like, acting like you have some sort of, like, faux leverage is based off the fact that you have some excitement surrounding your program for the first time in decades.
Right.
Like, and it's based off of a guy that, one, will not be there for very long, and two, what has Colorado proven that they are doing long-term-wise that makes it to where they're going to be competitive anywhere in any part of the country? This is, like, beyond not a P5 program when it comes to football right now. Like, you talk about the – what did you tell me their record was in the Pac-12 since they joined?
It's really, like, 26-72.
It's so really bad. They win less than a third of their games that they play in Pac-12 play. For the history that they've been playing. And it's like that every year. And last year was a massive embarrassment. The year before that was embarrassing. They had some weird success during COVID year, and no one knew what was going on. And frankly, they didn't even know why they had the success. I don't even think, remember when Carl Durrell, we were like, hey man, how do you build off of that year? He's like, we're really excited. And they get in there and they're like, they sucked. And everyone went, oh shoot. We fooled ourselves into thinking that we had come far. And I think that's what this is doing. You're fooling yourself if you're, hey, Colorado, the best situation you could be in is the Pac-12, bar none. Because the Big 12 looks at you and goes, great, is there someone else who can join you? Because that's kind of nice, right? That happens. It's like, hey, kid, we'd love to have you at this school. Could you bring your 5-star quarterback best friend with you on the visit?
If the Pac-12... Pac 10, 12, whatever it is.
It's going to be, yeah.
Something. It's going to be 10. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you compared the two conferences side by side, so you don't have USC, you don't have UCLA, you don't have Texas, you don't have Oklahoma. Is there a program bigger than Oregon in the Big 12?
There's not even one that equals it, right?
Right. Without Texas or Oklahoma. Washington?
Same.
Okay, I'm going to throw out Stanford.
But they're embarrassing because of all those things, and they can't perform.
Okay, what about Oregon State right now?
You're not going to get Oregon State and Kansas State would be
equal.
They would be like the sister countries that are like, we have a representative across the world. It's just like us.
But Oregon State looks like it's turned a corner with its football program.
Okay. Right?
And I'm just talking about football because it's kind of the only thing that matters.
Yeah, sure. So, no, they're coming around for sure. Absolutely. Right?
And then you have Utah. I mean, is there a better program in the Big 12 right now?
Not right now. Not than Utah. Mm-mm.
No. I mean,
Utah has won as many national titles as all the other teams that are going to make up the Big 12.
Utah's been in the last two Rose Bowls. The two-time defending Pac-12 champion.
Didn't we talk about this? Who the national champions after Texas and Oklahoma
leave? I know you don't want to get into and say that Utah would be the best team in the conference because people get mad.
No, I think that. No. I didn't say that.
I'm just trying to support your point where you say Colorado is not going to be in a better conference if they go to the Big 12. Now you could say, well, basketball-wise, maybe it's a better conference.
No, for sure.
But football, it's not.
For sure, but Colorado's not going to help that cause.
No.
Colorado's not going to help the Big 12 getting better in basketball cause.
No.
So in that sense, I am, like, shocked that Big 12 fans are like, yeah, man. And you got to ask yourself, is it because you just want the demise of the Pac-12 for some weird reason, too? It's not good for the Pac-12 to blow up. It's not good.
No.
It's not good for sports in this state. It's not good for even the petty rivalry you have in your head. That rivalry becomes less so if the sport starts to, in the state of Utah, starts to get less strong, if it gets weaker. So I want the Pac-12 to thrive. Colorado, stop it. You have been garbage in the Pac-12, and you have been absolutely blessed. Hashtag blessed Colorado. For being in the Pac-12. And so when you do this thing where you're like, we got to do what's best for us, you guys are freaking lucky to be in the situation that you are. So
You leave the Pac-12, I hope nobody takes you in. I hope you go nowhere. Because Deion Sanders is not going to make you a force long term. No apologies. Love unrivaled. All right. Let's take a break. Hey, we have our NFL roundup around the corner, don't we? Yeah. Does your home need a new look? RJS Exteriors can give you that look this year with the stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Get that look for 2022 by calling the folks at RJS Exteriors. Or 2023 is the year, right? 2023. That's this year. I get it mixed up.
We're almost halfway through.
I should probably get that right. Remember,
you're like 2024 is right around the corner.
Get ready for 2024 with that new look from the folks at RGS Exteriors, 801-280-3110. Also, Trajan Wealth, TRAJANWealth.com. That's your trusted local financial fiduciaries bringing you this portion of the program. We will come back. It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly.
More or less.
What's going to happen?
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Coming up in about 15 minutes here, right here on Unrivaled, you're going to get Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, going to join us. Mitch is going to kind of jump into a little bit of the conversation of if you saw some of the criticism of whether or not some of these athletes at BYU were getting exactly what was promised out of their NIL deals. We'll kind of ask him what the deal is with that and kind of where the players are at with that, if it's a couple of disgruntled players, if it's kind of the whole feeling of the team. I don't want to see what that's about. But Mitch will give us some clarity on that one in just a few moments. What are the odds, Scott? Goes like this. I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. And then you get yourself a bonus number of fake points for giving me a jersey number that's associated with that. By the way, all of our What Are the Odds today brought to you by the folks at the Larry H. Miller Utah Summer Games. Registration now open for the Larry H. Miller Utah Summer Games in Cedar City. Join nearly 10,000 athletes, all ages and abilities, competing over 40 different events this June. Register now, utahsummergames.org. That's utahsummergames.org. You can participate down there in Cedar City. Scott, what are the odds that the Big 12 adds at least one team in the next, I don't know, should we give a little time frame to it? July 1 is when they have to really kind of do it, right?
That's when those buyouts and extra money come into play.
UConn, blah. Don't you want to die hearing that name tied to the Big 12? Gonzaga, or as they say up in Washington, Gonzaga.
Is that what they say?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You just know that. Or Colorado. So Gonzaga, UConn, or Colorado getting added to the Big 12. What are the odds?
I don't like any of those schools to the Big 12. So I'm going to say
I'm off this thing of just adding schools.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In lieu of Joe Namath's 80th birthday, a Joe Namath 12% chance that any of those schools are going to be added to the Big 12. 12, get it? Joe Namath, 80.
Joe Namath, 80% or Joe Namath, 12?
Joe Namath, 12 on his 80th birthday.
But he's 80.
Yeah,
on his
to the Big 12.
Mm.
But then it's 13, so I'd probably have to go with, like, Dan Marino or something like that.
Let me see here. I'm going to go even lower because I hate any of those pickups. And Gonzaga would only be a basketball school, right? I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And Colorado, I told you, just to add schools and to do it just to spite the Pac-12, I also hate that idea. So I'm going to go even lower. I'm going to go with a Rick Meyer 3% chance. Wow.
Notre Dame legend.
Former Seahawk, too.
Yeah, he was.
What are the odds that Jaylen Brown isn't with the Celtics? I'm not talking about going to the Jazz. I'm just going to say not a Celtic next year.
Oh. Well, if he's not a Celtic, he's going to be at the Jazz. I mean, that's just
if he's not a Celtic, he's not getting paid, man.
Well, he'll get paid. I think this is high. I'm going to say, I think, was he 76? I'm going to go, is Curly Cope 76? I don't know why I remember all these Houston Oilers.
I was going to say.
I'm going to go Mike Barber, 86%. Mike Barber was a tight end.
We know, dude.
Well, just look at, he knows them. Okay. He should.
Jeremy,
I mean, Jeremy's
you don't know those guys.
You don't know Moon, Chris Dishman, yeah. Earl Campbell.
Okay. Earl Campbell, 33, 34.
So
Hayward Jeffries, I think, was 88.
The team that Earl Campbell played on had Moon, a tight 1%. End named Mike Barber, who blocked for him quite a bit.
I know Mike Munchak.
No, these are after.
Okay. Now,
you got to know your Houston Oilers history.
No, hey, jeez. Jeremy, no, you don't. Because they're not a team anymore. They're not a team anymore.
They were.
They're technically still a team. They were. Tennessee Titans owned all the other stuff.
They were my team. They were my team growing up. So
you know very well they don't exist anymore.
86% chance. Why? Just because I want to say Mike Barber. So there.
I'm going to give it a. I'm going to go with a. Ooh, who could I get with that one? I'll give it a LeBron 6% chance.
Negative Nancy.
Yeah, it's not about being negative.
Doubting Debbie.
No, I'm not. All I'm doing is doubting Debbie. What is that, like a weird saint? There's Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer.
Right, who rolls up with the rain cloud over.
There's also a Doubting Debbie.
Doubting Debbie.
Actually, it's Doubting Thomas.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to go with the 6% LeBron. Not happening. Okay, let's take a break. I still have these. I still have the game in my head. I know exactly which game for BYU they have to win. Scott, have you picked out the game that Utah has to win?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Don't reveal it yet. Okay, we'll come back to that.
Weber State.
Shoot, you just wasted it. So stay right here with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes, yes.
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, hour number two of the program. Thanks for being with us. We've been chatting with you all day about the Be Prepared Expo happening this weekend. Tomorrow and Saturday at the Legacy Event Center, we'll be chatting with Chris in just a few minutes here, who's the organizer of the Be Prepared Expo.
I can just say this, Alex.
There's a lot of zombie talk we've already had in the show.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of it.
You never can have enough zombie talk.
Now, here's my question, though. Can you eat, if you eliminate a zombie, okay, because obviously, I don't know if you can kill a zombie. I mean, I've seen Walking Dead.
There's certain ways you have to kill them.
Right. Can you eat them after?
Who wants to do that?
Well, I'm just saying, Jeremy said, because you feel like you can put it in the crock pot and probably
at your own risk.
You're really going to eat
the brown. You know the brown gravy packet? That fixes everything.
Not that.
The ranch powder?
Sriracha? I don't know. What do you want?
Sriracha.
Carolina ghost pepper wouldn't fix that.
Ghost?
I will
see what you did there.
I'll just. Carolina zombie pepper. I will just tell you this.
What?
In my lifetime, when I have been prepared, I have not feared.
You know what?
I'm just telling you. Something about it. When you get your stuff together, you just feel better.
It's true. When you do, I think it's funny because ever since you get the, when you have a family, you think to yourself, I got to get this thing prepared. I got to get this thing going. So we have backpacks. We have, what did they call them? The get out bags or the bug out bags?
Bug out bags.
They're doing those at the expo too.
I know.
So.
I
you know those life water straws?
I'm just trying to figure out how to get up there.
I know.
I'm really busy this weekend. I'm just
go tomorrow before the show. Go tomorrow before the show.
Well, when does it open?
Tomorrow at like noon. They fire it up. Yeah. Get it going. Be prepared, Scott. Come on. They did. We were watching them unload all the ammo.
And
it's a lot of ammo.
A whole lot of ammo.
They are anticipating a lot of zombies. Yeah. All right. Let's jump in. Let's get to the cut, and let's get into the program. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut, as always, brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bar, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. Quick, tasty, nutritious boost. There you go. Have you ever had a G2G Bar, Scott?
Not just one.
Be prepared.
I've had several.
Be prepared. Put those in your. You could eat one of those, probably go a week.
Don't you feel like if it was really dire, you know what I mean? Substantial. That's what they are. That's good.
So
Sam Farnsworth just sent us a joke. You ready?
Sure.
Via text.
Okay.
What do zombies eat? What do vegan zombies eat?
Vegan zombies eat. I don't know.
Grains. Yeah. Hey. See how the tables have turned? There's your dumb dad joke for the day, Scott.
Well, that is a dumb dad joke. At least mine are.
Grains. At least yours are really bad. What? Is mine good? Is mine bad because it was actually kind of a good joke?
No.
Gosh, I can never win on this. Oh, you have to be the one who rolls the dad jokes out, huh?
I'm the one that likes them.
I can't bring up a vegan zombie joke, and you can't.
I will just say that I appreciate the effort.
The effort.
And the try.
Don't you dare. Don't you freaking dare patronize me with your dumb damn dad jokes.
Well.
All right. Scott, I wanted to bring this one up yesterday, and I wasn't able to. And let me roll out Utah's schedule for you.
Okay.
And you tell me the one that, because there are the games that, you tell me where the automatic wins are, okay? The ones where you go, where you don't have to waffle on it, okay? I'm not going to read off every one of them. But let me read the ones that I think should probably be along those lines.
I'll give you the first one.
Give me the first automatic. Needs to be an automatic.
Florida.
Okay. And I don't disagree with you.
No, it's an automatic win. You think
you're that confident, huh?
Yeah. I'm as confident in Utah beating Florida as I am them beating Weber State.
So Weber State, that's another automatic. You don't count Baylor as an automatic. We'll move on from that because we'll come back to the ones we don't consider just automatics.
Fine.
UCLA is not automatic.
Automatic.
UCLA is automatic. Yeah. At home.
At home, first conference game, yeah.
They lost that game last year, Scott.
It was in L.A., and UCLA had about 27-year players. They had players older than BYU does.
I knew this was coming. Whatever. You don't have to say older
than
BYU.
Dorian Thompson Robinson was like a seventh-year senior.
Hey, COVID.
He was a COVID senior.
That COVID got everybody, man.
He finally grew up, got better.
Oregon State's not an automatic. So
Oregon State makes me worried.
We can put that one, file that one in the question.
I'm not
going
to say automatic, but.
Cal?
Automatic.
At USC, not automatic. We'll come back to it.
Nope.
Oregon, here at home, not automatic.
Automatic.
You say Oregon's automatic.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to move on from that, and I'm not even going to dive into the weird psyche that you have on that.
Okay.
Arizona State, here at
automatic.
Okay. At UW, that one is scary.
Not automatic.
At Arizona.
Automatic.
Colorado at home.
Automatic.
Okay. So out of the ones you did not name automatic, Washington, Oregon. No, you said Oregon's automatic. Fool.
Why am I a fool? They're at home.
That's cocky. You know it's not automatic.
It's automatic. They can beat Oregon at home.
At USC, that's a tough one.
Yes.
At Oregon State, that's a little bit scary. And at Baylor, that's a giant question mark.
What are all of these games? They're road games.
Okay.
In the past, Utah has not been a great road team.
You get one of those. What's the one you take?
One of them is the most important.
The most important.
Win of the season.
Win of the season.
Wait, okay.
Not because the other ones that you put in there, because you just said automatic about seven of these. And so now I've got four on the list here that you can pick one of those to be one that you absolutely guarantee that you take away, that you guarantee a steal.
All right. So DJ Uiagalelei, he at Oregon State, that's the difference maker. And I don't know who he is. So it's hard for me to tell right now. I think Oregon State is a better team than they've been in the past, but I think Utah's a better team. They will be fired up for Utah. Oregon State will be fired up for Utah playing up there. It's going to be a tough game, but I still think Utah's a better team. The one that gives me heart, Baylor early on in the season, I'm just telling you, the humidity, I know we talked a little bit about this, an early morning start, early in the fall, September, it's still hot in Texas, could be a challenge. I still think Utah's better than Baylor, though. I just do.
Okay.
For me, it boils down to two games.
USC and Washington.
You have to win one of those games.
And if you can take one of those, which one's it going to be?
Well, I think it might be easier to beat USC than Washington.
In L.A. than in Washington. Mm-hmm. You think Washington's that good this year, or you think USC may be just a little overripe on the expectations?
I think it'll be fascinating to see how motivated Caleb Williams is, especially knowing he's probably going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Okay.
And so, and I don't think he has the same type of receivers he had a year ago, and I'm not convinced that USC got any better defensively.
But see, if I was to ask you, because what I did was...
And Utah know, in their mind, they know they can beat USC now.
Here's what I did, though. The practice that we just did was to get you thinking about exactly what game kind of you look at and you go, that's the one that I think is going to be really the most difficult.
I think Washington at Washington is going to be the hardest game for Utah.
But is it the most important win of the year? Because
if they win it?
Right. Because I think that the most important win for you, you'd probably say at USC. But we just went through this whole practice and you came up with Washington.
Okay, maybe I'm not understanding the question.
No, I'm saying the hardest game. I got to an all the way around.
Okay, the hardest game for Utah this year, I believe, is going to be at Washington.
Okay.
The most important game for Utah is to win
to beat USC. Okay.
The USC is going to start the season out as the highest ranked team. They're the Los Angeles Lakers. They're the Tiger Woods. They're always going to be a story.
Plus, this is your last chance to give them the old old middle finger.
Boy,
before
and
they
that would
the
just be a special way to send them off. No question about it.
Okay. So the hardest game is Washington.
I think so, yeah.
The one that you hope you get the most.
You could almost argue Oregon State might, because Oregon State's given Utah fits the last couple of years.
I think we're probably overdoing it a little bit. I like Jonathan Smith's team. Yeah, I think we're overdoing it a little bit. I don't think they're there yet, because I don't think DJ Ugalele is going to be the guy that's going to just turn their fortunes around totally.
You just don't know. It's
they need a half a quarterback, and they've had a quarter of a quarterback. There has not been. I mean, it's just been bad luck for them. Okay, so let's go through the same practice with BYU. Okay,
all right.
Sam Houston and Southern Utah. Those are your first two games of the season. They're both at home, and they're both out of conference, and they're both smaller schools. Sam Houston, their first year in FBS,
guaranteed wins.
I hope, but I'm not going to go that far, but I'll say yes, sure.
No, they're
going to
win this game.
Okay, going down to Fayetteville to Arkansas. Arkansas is not great, and that's what's so disappointing about last year's getting blown up by them. I mean, that was the linchpin and everything for Eli Satuiaki's job being sent away. But at Arkansas and then at Kansas, Cincinnati at home, at TCU, Texas Tech at home, at Texas, West Virginia at West Virginia, Iowa State at home, Oklahoma at home, and at Oklahoma State to round things out. The toughest game of the season is going down to Texas to play TCU. That's what I'm saying.
Might be.
I think TCU, I don't know. The most talent in this conference is at Texas.
Here's the problem you run into with some of these schools like TCU and a Baylor. When they'll have a player come through the program, like, you know, a really special player, quarterback, or you know, just some elite player that is just so hard to defend, but then they don't have that player the next year, you know. And TCU had Max Duggins, the quarterback, and he was special, and but now they're breaking in somebody new, and that breaking in someone new, it just takes some time, and so. You know, from year to year, is TCU going to be – I just don't think they're a program that has the ability to recruit consistently to just be that dominant force. Now, a team like Texas does, a team like Oklahoma does, whether they're doing it or not is a different story. So when you have these teams like a Texas Tech, or you have Kansas State, or you have some of these schools that they might have a special player from year to year – they might be hard to beat, but it's hard to predict who that guy is even going to be. And, you know, Baylor was terrible last year, and everyone thought they were going to win the conference. And that's kind of my point, is they didn't have the same players that they had the year before.
So I'll go the ones that are the most important to you and the hardest, like you did.
Okay.
The most important win for Utah or for BYU this year, I think the most important one would be Oklahoma at home. And it's not because of Oklahoma being, such a powerhouse. I think normally you think, okay, who's the best team? Then tell me the biggest win then. I think the most important one is that Oklahoma win. And it's not because you care. This is a conference opponent for 1 year. It's not like there's not a history there really at all, except for when you beat them down there in Texas at Jerry World. And even then, like, there's not a real, like, these two teams don't think about each other very often.
See, there's a part
of me, because Oklahoma's coming to Provo.
Yep.
there's a piece there because they could beat Texas Tech at home, and that'd be a pretty darn good win. Yeah. And Texas Tech arguably is actually better than Oklahoma this year on paper. But I think if you're able to have a home game, it's later in the season. It's your second to last game of the season before you go to Stillwater the next week. If they were able to beat Oklahoma at home, their first year in the Big 12, the first year, I mean, the only year that Oklahoma's going to be in it, I think that that would be one where you go, if you're a BYU fan, you'd go, that was the one where I felt like, hey, man, we have a shot in this conference. Not necessarily this year, but obviously going forward where you go, we belong. Wins against Oklahoma and Texas, I think the most important win would be Oklahoma at home. I think the most difficult win to get is going to be at Texas. If they were somehow able to pull both of those off, then you put the whole conference on notice. And I know that's an insane thought to think to go down to Texas to win and then beat Oklahoma 2 weeks later at home. But the insane thing is that Texas is on a three-game losing streak against BYU right now. Oklahoma doesn't think about BYU, like I said. There's no history there. So stealing one from them on a cold damn Provo in November might be exactly what the doctor ordered for you to be able to get to that seventh win, maybe. Because I do think it's going to be some really, really rough sledding, you know, that stretch between even Cincinnati all the way to Texas. And then going to West Virginia the very next week after you were in Austin, that's a long freaking trip. That's going to be a brutal 3 weeks right there. Their three trips are TCU, Texas, and West Virginia, all within a month. You know what I mean? That is a tough freaking go.
So
your first attempt at the conference.
I mean, your point about Oklahoma, and because it's such a big name program, that might be the most important win for you. But I could almost argue that a team like Oklahoma State might be the most important game for BYU in the sense that they're going to be your buddy for a long time. And just establishing to them, hey, we're BYU, we're here, we're going to contend, and you're going to have to deal with us. And that may be important for the long run. In the short term, yeah, I think Oklahoma just it just makes a statement, you know, and the fact that Oklahoma's going to go to the SEC.
You want
to
make your fans feel awesome too. If that happens at home. Yeah. It would be so amazing.
You know, Texas or Oklahoma, they weren't anything special a year ago, and you can't just all of a sudden assume, well, they're going to be great this year. I mean, I don't know how good Texas and Oklahoma will be. I honestly don't know how good anybody in the Big 12 is going to be. It is the mystery league, and it could be similar to the Pac-12, and you've got a lot of teams that are kind of good, and they just beat up on each other. You know, you don't have that just super dominant team. So I think you really run into, just getting teams at the right time and you're in the right place. The one thing I do know about BYU this year that I think will go unnoticed or underappreciated, Jay Hill's gonna be a little prickly, and they're gonna get that defense playing a lot better. And if they can get that defense playing a lot better at BYU, they're gonna have a shot in a lot of these games. And it's going to be games like Arkansas and some of these other schools where your defense is going to keep you in ball games. It's not going to be a liability. And I just think that staff and who they have there and some of the changes they've made, I think it's going to be really good.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another break. Joining us right now on the show, Chris Turpin. And Chris is, of course, running the Be Prepared Expo. Chris, we just went through a whole kind of scenario about whether or not you could, if you did in fact kill a zombie, if you could, if there was enough crockpot seasoning you could use to maybe still eat them afterward. But I think that's a moot point because we can do a lot.
Maybe has a course on cuisine.
That's the thing is you don't need it because you guys have enough. There's enough technology and there's enough really good cooking you can get. It's not just the old standby, you know, pour the water in the potato situation. The be prepared food these days, the food options that are long-term storage options are really good these days, right?
Oh, they're fantastic. Most everything will last 25 years. You can get meat products that last 15 years. Milk products that do 25. Seasoning is really important, though. But you want to stay away from anything that starts with Soylent Green.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, if it's people, you don't want it. Right.
If it's people, you don't want it. So, but it's good to have lots of different seasonings, you know, or having hot sauces, because those are non-perishable items, and you can have those forever, you know, having salt, hot sauces, seasonings to, you know, mix it up a little bit. Very good for your emergency preparedness food, freeze-dried food or whatever it may be.
So the Be Prepared Expo is starting tomorrow and goes through Saturday. And you have over 100 vendors, 60 classes that you can attend. I'm wondering about the person, because I think this is fascinating. You're just seeing what you have kind of setting up and what's going on there. I'm really into this stuff, and I think it's really cool. But what if you're someone
who... I expect to see you over the weekend.
Look, I'm going to do everything I possibly... No, I really... believe me, I want to be there. I do. I love this stuff. I'm all over it. What about that person who's kind of intimidated by all of this? Like, don't really know what to do, you know, or do you have to be an expert person in being prepared, or can a newbie come in and really kind of, this is a good place for them to start?
Yeah, it's a great place for newbies. You know, we've got tons of classes they can learn, and they can learn about the importance of being prepared. Some preparedness is always better than none. Right. And so the scary thing is, one of the reasons why we do this, we want to help people out, is only 3% of the population has enough food for 30 days.
That's pretty crazy.
Wow,
to think.
That's insane.
I mean, the reality is that there are a lot of people who are, you know, they hear something like this and they kind of go, well, we have like some stuff down in the pantry or in the cold storage, but it's going to be a little bit more than that. And the technology's gotten so much better now of how to prepare yourself, how to do the storage, what you need for it.
Right.
And so, like you were talking about how important the fresh water stuff is, and just the technology to be able to get clean water when you don't have a clean water supply, it's just so much better. So if people want to be able to get up there to the Legacy Event Center, it's just south of Farmington Station there in Farmington, Legacy Event Center there in Davis County. Go check it out this weekend. Tomorrow and Saturday, the Be Prepared Expo. Go to BePreparedExpo.com, and you can get discounted tickets there, or you can show up in person and buy them there. You buy them online, you get a few bucks off of each ticket and a few bucks off of the family pack as well. So Chris Turpin, he runs the whole thing, and he's been really nice about helping us out today. Chris, we'll chat with you in a few minutes, man. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, sounds good. Hey, thank you much.
You bet. There you go. BePreparedExpo.com is the website. We will come back. We've got a lot of stuff to jump into still today. Well, stay with us, 97.5 BKSL Sports Zone.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars.
This is 97.5 BKSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, I've got a list in front of me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Is that like a to-do list? Is it a laundry list?
No, because I was trying to think.
Is it a list of things you can improve on?
I just thought this would kind of be funny.
Okay.
Top 10 best players in Denver Nuggets history.
Oh, really?
Could you name more than three?
No.
Okay.
I'll go.
Yeah, you could. You could name three.
Well, okay. Can I name two that are there now? Jamal Murray and...
Okay, Jamal Murray, let's say that he hasn't done enough yet. I think we kind of have proved that Nikola Jokic is probably done
Nikola
enough.
Jokic.
Probably, but he's done enough to be number
one. Well, is he on the list?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But Murray's not on the list.
No.
That's wrong.
Well, I think it's because...
No, it's wrong. He's just been injured, it's wrong. I'll say...
Come on.
What's his name?
There's a couple easy ones on there.
Not Jack Sikma. Was he with the...
No.
No.
No, Jack Sikma's not on.
Who's the other guy? Oh, Dan Issel.
Issel's on there, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you got Dan Issel. See, and in my mind, I'm going that you should get at least two more.
I should at least get two more?
Yes.
Why am I drawing a blank on Denver Nuggets? And I'm not cheating, by the way.
Dan Issel, by the way.
He's not. He's probably, what, seven?
He's number three on their all-time list.
Yeah, he was
pretty
good
darn good. I mean, he was a seven-time All-Star. He's also in the Hall of Fame. So,
Yeah, I'm trying to think way too far back.
For sure. Alex English. Not familiar with his game, but.
No, Alex, no, he's a player.
Alex English is number two, according to this list.
Yeah, I would see that. So Jokic is one?
Jokic is number one.
I would say that's probably right so far.
I think our little practice here kind of gives you an idea as to like kind of how exciting the Denver Nuggets have been over the years. Now, this should be an easy one. Dikembe Mutombo. Come on.
Was he a Denver Nugget?
Yes. Of course he was.
For 5 years?
Yeah, he's on the list.
Five years?
He's not.
What, was that in the 90s? Because I don't care.
Hmm.
Yeah, whatever.
What do you mean in the 90s you don't care? Best name on the list, who is, he only played six seasons at the Nuggets. Best name on the list, number six on their list all time, Fat Lever.
Fat Lever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He was.
That is a great name.
Listen to this.
That is maybe one of my top five favorite names.
Top five favorites. He had a game where he had 22 points, 21 rebounds, 15 assists, and 7 steals. He was 3 steals short of a quadruple-double.
Oh, my goodness.
Fat Lever. Dikembe Mutombo, yes. Now, you forgot about Melo, and I think a lot of people do.
I was going to say him.
I think a lot of people do.
But he's played for everyone. It's like,
I know, but he did the
– he's kind of the automatic player.
I know, but he was 8 years at the Nuggets. I think we tend to not give him as much time there, but he was 26 points a game for 8 freaking seasons.
Wow.
Marcus Camby, former UMass.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you've got just one name that you go by, it's pretty darn good. Nene from Brazil. No? Yeah, he played a long time.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Oh, Nene, Brazilian guy. He's a center. Anyway, did I get everybody out there? Bobby Jones. He's also on the list, and so is David Thompson. That rounds it out. There you go. Number one, Nikola Jokic. So I'm just saying, like, in terms of historic, those are some good names on the list, but, like, this Nuggets franchise has never, it's always been very much like the Jazz in the sense that you're like, yeah, you got some pretty historic guys on the team, but no one you're ever going to say, remember when Alex English took us to the world title?
No.
You're not going to say, wow, Carmelo Anthony, he was one win away from the title. No. They never got to the finals until they had this group, which is what? Nikola Jokic, probably the best, obviously the best player in the history of their franchise. But on top of it, a quiet superstar in the making with Jamal Murray. This is what you need to get to the finals if you're in the Intermountain area of the United States. You need a bona fide superstar, and you need a not just like a number two who's like you're giving thumbs up to. A number two who's going to be likely an NBA All-Star type. So Lauri Markkanen could be our or the Utah Jazz's Jamal Murray in the sense that he plays second fiddle to somebody else.
Possibly.
But he's also kind of a bona fide star in his own right.
Something just dawned on me.
What?
And I'm going to regret saying this.
Oh, boy.
It's not a dump button thing. Don't worry, Jeremy. You look at – you're talking about the history of the Denver Nuggets, and you list their top players, and you go, okay, none of that excites the heck out of me. You go, yeah, okay. There's a decent number of them that are recognizable names. The Utah Jazz have never won an NBA championship. We have statues. We have statues of players that took second.
Yeah.
Yep. Like they never took first. They never brought a trophy. They never got a parade. And we have lifestyle statues. We have roads named out. Now they're incredible players. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to minimize what they are.
You're
but
saying that our view is skewed a little bit when we put second place out on the plaza.
We have got a serious problem. I mean, we're so desperate to have something that we put second place. We put second place out on the plaza.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Those guys, John and Carl, helped build that building. You know what I mean? Like, that building is there. NBA fandom is alive in the state of Utah because of John and Carl. Not because that they won titles. Like I mean, obviously, they were very good.
I'm not doubting
but what
that.
What they did was they made
they took
this
second
town
twice.
Serious.
They
I know,
took
but
second
they,
twice.
But that was way more than the Nuggets have even done in their franchise history until this year. They haven't even ever gotten second.
I'm going to go back to something Danny H said, you know, about Jazz DNA. Like, we need a transplant or something to change the DNA. Can you change your DNA? Are we born? Are we born with this DNA, or do we have the ability to? Can we just be known as something else if we want to be?
I'm Mr. DNA. Remember that on Jurassic Park?
I'm not trying to disrespect their careers or anything, but they didn't win a championship. And I guarantee you, I'll bet they're not happy about it.
Wow.
I'll bet they're not sitting here.
Here comes Scott rubbing salt into the old wounds here.
No, what I'm saying is Danny Ainge.
Sorry,
Danny Ainge.
They're top 20 players in the history of the league. Both of them here at the same time.
Okay, well, who are the other ones? Who's the other one who hadn't won a championship? Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, you know, I mean, probably won championships. And believe me, I'm not. Biggest.
Sounds like you're real grateful for the heritage here we've got.
My point.
Hey, everybody, Scott Mitchell suddenly doesn't respect the legacy of John Stockton and Carmelo.
My point is, when Danny Ainge showed up, he said, I don't understand the culture. The only culture I understand is winning championships. Mm-hmm. And why is that so bad to change that culture to winning championship culture? Could we, you know, what would happen if you win a championship?
Mm-hmm.
Would you get a day of the week named after you? Do you get a parade every year? I mean, we gave out statues for second place.
You get first and second South.
Now,
not just first South.
I mean, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. There's a statue here.
Is there a statue?
There is.
See you again.
There is.
You know what that is? Is that
just respect?
1,000%. And you know what he is?
But
one of the greatest of all time never freaking got it done.
So I guess that's what you get. You get a statue if you're really good and you don't win it all.
In cities like Miami and cities like Salt Lake,
is there going to be a statue of Tom Brady outside of Gillette Stadium in Foxborough?
If there's not, there better be plans already. Like, and it better be huge.
I mean, what about Pittsburgh? What about Pittsburgh? Why don't they have? I mean, Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. Why isn't it? Terry Bradshaw in a statue wouldn't look very good, though. He doesn't have a statue kind of body. It's just not good.
It needs to be Terry Bradshaw right now. Like, he's got, like, an apron on, and he's cooking. He's, like, waving at you. Yeah. Hey, everybody! He's out in the backyard. The statue is him by one of those Weber grills, you know, and he's got the spatula, and he's got the apron on, and he's just, like, he's just out there being a dude. All right. Shula's got a statue out there, doesn't he?
They have a freeway named after Don Shula. The Shula, it is.
It only goes one direction.
It's the Don Shula Freeway.
It only travels one direction. It's one way, and that's it. It's his way only. All right. We're going to take a break. Hey, I've got some interesting news. Can I do something personal right
now? I'm kind of bummed right now. I'm serious. I'm thinking about this. I'm really bummed about this. Like, we as Jazz Nation, we have settled for not winning championships. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Let me get this right.
I don't like it.
You're gonna dare say, hey, we put up that statue prematurely. Those guys didn't deserve it.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm sure I'm going to be fried for. I don't even care
I hope
if I'm
you
fried
are,
for
yeah.
this. Because
hey, everybody, hit us with your best fried.
The best we've
Scott
ever.
Mitchell.
My point is the best that the history of the Utah Jazz has produced. And believe me, they're amazing players. Don't get me wrong, but it's never brought a championship. And so I guess you have to just celebrate what you can celebrate, and you know, just find something positive to be happy about.
Mm.
I just think we need to set our sights higher. That's all.
All right, let me. Can I do something personal here?
Please.
I want to yell from the mountaintops a giant congratulations to my mother-in-law Emily Dewey, who at Riverside number 17 today hit her first hole in one.
What?
Yes, this afternoon.
My
mother-in-law hit a hole-in-one.
You ever hit a hole-in-one, Alex?
I have not. I've been close. I was waiting for that.
I have hit a hole-in-one.
How many?
Just one.
Just the one?
Just one hole-in-one.
I just want to know
that's all you need.
Like. I know. Now, my mother-in-law's been playing golf forever. She's a darn good golfer, and so she deserves it. If it was somebody, I feel like I don't deserve to get a hole-in-one because I've only really been playing golf for the last 3 years consistently, right? But congrats to my mother-in-law at Riverside number 17. She hit a hole-in-one today. And you know what she said? It was a dunk. It went straight in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it didn't do the bounce and roll thing.
I don't know which one I'd like better.
I know, because I would love the roll when it rolled up and just you saw it go.
It just disappears.
Boop. Yes.
Yeah. Mine rolled, and it was special. Mm. And it went in the hole.
Well, congrats, Emily. Great job. And, man, people who hit hole-in-ones, they're built differently. you know? And you know what? Put a statue of Emily outside Riverside. You hit a hole in one, boom, you get a statue. Let's go.
It's like participation trophies. Everyone's getting getting the statue these days.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got more around the corner. So stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Want to reiterate, if you've never had a Frazzle, that they're free tomorrow.
Because it's Friday.
Yeah, it's
and
Friday.
It's June.
And it's June. Tomorrow you're going to hear me talking a lot about it, but man. You know what? I know when people say they got a hole-in-one, you're supposed to be happy for them. I just get jealous every time, actually.
Why?
Well, maybe it's because I congratulated my mother-in-law on her first hole-in-one. Minutes ago, and all you could, you wouldn't shut up about how, you know, I've hit a hole-in-one, too. It looks like she joined the prestigious hole-in-one club, of which Scott Mitchell's the president in this room.
Look,
I'm over here busting my butt, man.
Don't get mad at people. Just play better golf. Not that hard.
Ooh. Hey, we can play golf next week together. Excited to get out there.
I know. On Monday.
Excited to get out there.
That'll be fun.
For
a good cause, too.
It is for a good cause. Okay, so here's
in fact, you should only play golf for good causes. Like, that's the rule. Can't play for a bad cause.
So, you put together a tournament that's for a bad cause?
Yeah.
What would that look like?
Well, I mean, you could do it for, like, your personal gain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad cause.
For sure. It's like Speeders Across America Unite. It's a golf tournament of just a bunch of people who drive like a bunch of jerks. That's a bad cause. That's a bad cause. Raise money to get people out of tickets after they're driving. But you have to have like a really bad offense, like a 30 over in a school zone type of situation.
Well, yeah.
That's a bad cause.
That's a terrible cause.
All right. All right, let's jump in here. Next portion of the show. Boy, we've just been all over the place today, haven't we?
Literally, we've been all over the place.
So, remember we were talking about Chris Sims' top quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming because I haven't seen Zach Wilson in the top 40 yet, and Chris Sims likes Zach Wilson. Now, I think they got us to the actual update is that he's gone all the way through 9. Still no Zach Wilson, so he must be in his top 8. No?
There's okay. No way.
Okay, Dak Prescott, 13. Kirk Cousins, 12. You think that's a little high. I know on salary he's one of the top guys. Do you think Kirk Cousins is the 12th best quarterback in the NFL? That means he's better than, more than 65% of his counterparts who are starters in the NFL. So Daniel Jones is 11. Thank you. Matt Stafford is 10, and I don't even know if that's right, but he has Deshaun Watson at 9.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson at number 9. What's going on with Chris Sims, man? I'm worried about it. Somebody check on him? Because you've got – here's the top 15 – because we went down through 20 – or through 21. Tua Tagovailoa is 21. So here's your top 20. Mac Jones, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's 19? All right, fine. Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Ryan Tannehill's 16 – Geno Smith is 15. I think based off of what Geno Smith has done, he probably should be ahead of the likes of your Daniel Joneses at least. Daniel Jones is 11?
No.
I have a really hard time
Daniel Jones is up there probably in the 20 to 25.
Who stinks is Patrick Mahomes. He stinks. So I saw Rusty Keys run by, so I was hoping he heard me. our resident chief. Yeah. Oh, there we go. There see, we I was go. Waiting to see.
We got Rusty Keys get. Back on the.
I did not hear that, Bill. I did we're not just hear
doing
that.
The, we're doing the top He's, list of quarterbacks. I see Rusty go by, and I just was like, I got to say something. And did I mention how much I hate Patrick Mahomes? No, Patrick Mahomes is going to be number one on this list, and he deserves to be.
Yes, absolutely, but positively.
But this Rusty Keys, everybody, from FM 100.3, he's walking by, and he has his backpack on, which means he's probably going home.
He's probably trying to get out of the
he
building.
Is, but he's got his chief lanyard on, and so I'm going, I see him, and I have to say something about and I thought, he didn't hear that. And then
he
I
has
see
his
this,
chief's whoop. Lanyard on? Is that all you have on that's chiefs related today? Is just a
today,
lanyard?
Today,
just a
that's little, the only a thing, necklace? Yeah. But you know, guys,
kinda disappointed
I'm blonde from Kansas. I'm an easy target, really?
Yeah, listen,
I mean, come on.
No, I knew you were walking by. I was like, this is going to get him. This is going to get him. But listen to this top. But listen to how ridiculous this list is. Because he's got Daniel Jones. Now, this is Chris Sims, so take all this with a grain, a pile of salt. Daniel Jones is 11th on his list out of 40 quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, number 11. Kirk Cousins is 12. Deshaun Watson is number 9. That is insane to me. Now, I think we all can probably agree on the next 8. Because you're going to see, no, I mean, there probably might be some mix-up on the order. But I don't think anybody's ever going to see Patrick Mahomes be anything other than number 1. He's earned that for probably the next 4 or 5 lists that they do on this thing. What point does Patrick Mahomes, Rusty, get ousted from that list of number 1 quarterback in the NFL? Who's the one who's going to do it?
When's he retiring?
Okay.
And nobody.
And you don't think anybody could?
No.
Nobody
not,
stands
well, not
up.
Right now. No, not right now. But although last year people had him listed going into the season like number 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah. People love Joe Burrow going into last
year.
And Joe Burrow's talented, and he's probably going to be number two or three on this list, and he probably should
be. Top five, maybe.
I would say your top three. Wouldn't they be Mahomes and then in some order Josh Allen
and Burrow?
And Burrow.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers will be on the list just
he's
because.
He's going to be high on the list. It's just.
I think Aaron Rodgers is to the point now he's on it just because of his name. I mean, he didn't do well last year. He didn't do all that well the year before.
Ooh.
I'm just throwing a little, you know.
I like it. I don't hate it at all.
I'm on record to say they're not going to the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers.
Scott's on record, too, to say, what have you done since 2012? Or what was it? 2008?
2008.
When they won a Super Bowl?
They've had 5 championship games in Green Bay. They haven't won one of them.
Yeah. I would agree.
All right. Rusty, it was just a troll situation. I saw you go by. We were talking quarterbacks.
I do have a comment. Because you talk about Patrick Mahomes, and you say, how long is he going to be the guy? And he's talked about his legacy is more important to him than money.
Yes.
So do you see him taking less money then down the road?
To an extent, yeah. I mean, I could easily see – I know they originally said that once, like, Burrow kind of gets his thing and I think Herbert gets his thing – then they were going to address him.
Right.
I could easily see him saying, you know, let's just talk about this next year. Let's get Chris Jones locked up. Let's get a couple other things.
He kind of had an interesting topic. He had an interesting thing to say about it, too, because it was like, look, I'm here about the rings.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if I sit here and don't take a pay raise, everybody else who's not the best quarterback in the league is going to hate me because then all their talks stall, too.
But you know what? Look at the who's the GOAT for quarterbacks?
Tomas Brady.
And who is the GOAT in basketball?
Michael Jordan.
And guess who were the two, not two least, but they were always the lowest or around the lower paid players on their teams.
Yeah, but Michael Jordan had that side kick.
he had the
10% from Nike situation. That was pretty good.
Yeah, you got that. You don't have to worry about it as much.
But that's why that's
like
probably
an annuity he got. You know?
But that's if you're the guy. If you're Patrick Mahomes and you go, you know what? I'm all about the rings right now. But then you go, yeah, except for you're earning 40-ish plus million dollars a year. Like, no one's going to feel bad for you. So, you know, in that sense, I think that everybody knows he's going to do what he needs to do for his team because he knows, why do you want to go away and be irrelevant after you did all this stuff at the top end of your career? You don't want to go away because you took a ton of money and they couldn't pay any of the people that surround you.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think that they'll do anything with him until next year.
Okay.
Maybe
right.
I'm wrong. Who knows?
Rusty, it was just me trolling you.
I know.
You know how much we respect your Chiefs for now.
Easy target.
For now.
Easy
right.
target.
Thanks,
Scott
man.
Doesn't, but that's what
have fun on the commute. Be safe on the way home there. Rusty Keys, FM 100.3. All right. Joining us on the program right now from the Be Prepared Expo at the Legacy Event Center in Farmington, just south of Farmington Station. If you've never seen that big, giant blue building there at the Legacy Event Center, go in, check it out. It's getting people ready for any possible disaster anything they could be ready for. And Chris is joining us, Chris Turpin, heading up this thing. Chris, what's the number one thing that you tell people to get ready for, really, when it comes down to it, the stuff that they have to be ready for here across the Wasatch Front?
You know, currently, obviously, flooding. But, you know, the earthquake's going to come. You know, they've been telling us since we were kids. Sooner or later, it's going to come, and you need to have, you know, food, water, and anything else, you know, power, generators, solar, batteries, whatever you may need to be prepared. So if you have to leave your home, take a good 72-hour kit. If you need to leave your home, then you take that with you. And there's a difference between a bug-out pack and a 72-hour kit or an emergency kit. An emergency kit, I'm going to come back to my house. A bug-out kit is, I got everything in there, I'm not coming back.
Oh, interesting.
So there's two different things that you need to have. You know, here in Utah, you need to have, you know, a winter and a summer one. Because you don't know what the weather, you know, what season it's going to be during the day.
So, I need to come get a bug out kit. That's what I need to do.
Absolutely.
What is, you talk about a social breakdown? Like how do you prepare for a social breakdown?
Well, I'll just give you an example. I lived 2 years in Argentina in late '80s and early '90s, and they went through hyperinflation. Okay. And, the exchange rate went from, pesos. They were called Australs. Mm-hmm. They were called Australs at the time. Three to one when I got there. When I came home a couple years later, it was 10,000 to one. And you couldn't find, and during, for about a 6-8 month period of time, you couldn't buy essentials because the prices changed on the hour. And so if a store or a vendor couldn't replace the product in time, they wouldn't sell it to you. You can get sugar, you can get pasta, you can get flour, you can get oil. Hmm. They just wouldn't sell it to you because they couldn't replace it fast enough because the prices were changing so fast. And, you know, at night you'd go by, people break in the restaurant, steal the food. You know, if there were cattle or any type of animals in a field, a lot of times you'd go back in the morning and there was just a pile of, you know, bloody bones.
Wow.
People had stripped it down.
Oh,
and I just tell, you know, and that was a crazy time. And they don't have guns. Can you imagine if people are going hungry and they have guns?
Right.
That's a bad deal, right?
So if somebody wants to take advantage of kind of how to get educated on the best way to get yourself prepared, the Be Prepared Expo is right there at the Legacy Event Center in Davis County, just south of Farmington Station. Look it up. Just right there online. It's getpreparedexpo.com. Getprepareexpo.com. You can get discounted tickets, or beprepareexpo.com is the website. You get discounted tickets there. You go online, you get it, or you can show up at the door and you can get it. $25 for a family of four, and then $10 a person as well if you're buying singles at the door there too. So Chris is helping us out. He's educating us on all this stuff all day. Beprepareexpo.com is the website. Thanks for chatting with us, Chris. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Thursday to you. Been getting the days all wrong this week because we had Memorial Day off, and here we are. Already on a Thursday, we're going to be chatting, of course, with the folks at the Be Prepared Expo coming up in just a few minutes again as you get yourself ready for any sort of natural disaster or otherwise. Are you a business owner, though? You've got better things to do than job hunt, scramble, find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Spherion.com/Utah, and if we're talking about Spherion, easy get also to get to the place where we're chatting with Tim Lacombe here. The coach joins us on the program, courtesy of Spherion. Coach, thanks for being a part of the program, man. Happy Finals Day, Game 1 to you.
Well, happy finals game to y'all. Exciting, always exciting. And this playoffs, if it tells us anything, you know, crazy, unexpected things can happen, yes. Like an 8 seed getting to the finals.
Well, but what's interesting about that, too, about things you can't predict, I was actually reading this today, and I went, huh, the not just the playoffs kind of overall, but even the conference finals, the home court advantage has not really been as present as it's been across kind of the history of the playoffs, and except for the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets have not lost a game at home yet. They seem to be the only ones kind of holding serve, and they were the best team in the West here, so why are we still surprised that the Nuggets are doing as well as they are this year?
Well, I don't think, you know, I'm certainly not. I think after a round and a half, you kind of saw that those guys are really playing great basketball. But more than anything, that's a really cohesive group that's got a definitive leader. And, yeah, they're just playing a really fun brand of basketball. I could watch Jokic play all day, every day. I just absolutely love the dude's game. And he makes the dudes around him better. And so Denver's in a great spot because of him and everybody else buying in.
Okay, I have a theory. And I just want to run this theory by you and see what you think, Coach. I think the Jazz are going to target like someone like Jaylen Brown. Or so he's not a free agent, but he's a possible person that the Jazz could trade for. And I just think that with the way the Jazz went, like they didn't tank, so they weren't trying to get that top pick. So the draft wasn't or a high draft pick wasn't necessarily a priority. I think that the way they traded players away and they set themselves up, it just feels like to me to go after a big-time player. And you listen to Justin Zanuck, and he said, hey, what happened with Kyrie to Dallas and what happened with Kevin Durant to Phoenix is something that we can do multiple times with all the assets we have. And I kind of was tipped off on, I don't know if tipped off is the right word. I just heard, and I said, you know what, that makes sense. And just look at the moves and what the Jazz have been doing. It feels like they're going to go after a known commodity. And Jaylen Brown feels like, because of the relationship with Danny Ainge, maybe he's not completely content in Boston. And he's got Will Hardy, who was there with him for, you know, a year or so in Boston. Am I off my rocker about Jaylen Brown? Or could there possibly be something in the works for a player, either him or like him?
Well, the one thing we know about this group, you know, they don't like sitting on their hands. You know, last year's draft was a little bit nutty because, you know, for Danny, they didn't have a pick. And so it was a very mundane draft. And he even made the comment, you know, those aren't the situations we want to be in. Look, man, I think everything's on the table, Scott. I think everything's in play. And, you know, there's a reason, you know, the Jazz made those moves, got a stockpile of assets. Now, is it Jaylen Brown? I don't know. You know, I have not been tipped off to anything, but I will say that, you know, something like that wouldn't blow my hair back too far. I think that, you know, the Jazz are in a really great spot because they control it. And if they want to move up, I think they have the buying power to do so. If they want to package and trade for a known commodity, you know, I like that phrase you used. I think that's also very available. But I think the one thing for sure, the Jazz are going to make a splash. And, you know, it might be with moving up. It might be standing pat because the guys they've worked out and really love, they feel like they can get. But, man, due diligence is definitely going on, you know, nonstop. And I'm just really excited to see where the pendulum lands.
Tim, one of the things that I'm interested in is kind of what the Jazz can learn. I don't want to make everything about the Jazz with this, but it's hard not to kind of make your reflections off of it, especially when you have a team like the Nuggets who – you know, they're not a team that's even been to the finals before, and they certainly haven't won it then because of that. But what do the Jazz learn from a team like the Nuggets or even a team like the Heat who are in the finals on how to get there?
Well, I think obviously two really different paths. Denver was extraordinary all year. We're, you know, the best team in the West, and then Jokic has just been phenomenal. I think, you know, easily could have been the MVP again. I think that's probably just people getting tired of giving it to him. But he certainly deserved it after this year. So they kind of rode the wave, and then the Heat really scrapped. I mean, they had injuries. But I think what it does tell you is there's lots of different ways you can do it. But you got to be competitive, man. You got to have a bunch of guys bought in. It's great to have a leader like Jimmy Butler who just doesn't take no for an answer. And guy's just relentless and maybe one of the more competitive guys in the league. But there's hope. I think that's the biggest thing. Denver's never been to this spot. They may win it at first crack, but there's hope. And I think Denver's talking dynasty, but it's really hard when you win a championship and everybody wants theirs to keep that same hunger and to keep those guys in those salary slots. You know, people are going to maybe overpay for a guy. So all that stuff's interesting, but I think we got two really, really good basketball teams, two really competitive teams, and it should be a fun finals to watch.
So there's a handful of players in the NBA that are that superstar level. You know, the Steph Currys, the Lucas, the Kevin Durant's, the Joel Embiid, the Joker. Is Jimmy Butler in that status now, or has he earned the right for that?
You know, I think you have to put him in with what he's done and accomplished. You know, I think you've got to put him in lore. But, you know, the crazy thing about Jimmy Butler is he's probably more of a junkyard dog than a superstar. I think he'd probably almost identify more with that. He's been in places and locker rooms where it didn't work, and his way wasn't, you know, the way that was going to work for a certain organization. But I'll tell you what, I'd have him on my team anytime. I think, again, calling someone a junkyard dog, we used to put that on the scouting report when there was a guy. You just got to really convey how gritty they are, and I think that's what he is. And superstar, yes, to the echelon of those guys, not sure, but certainly a guy that I have a ton of respect for.
What do you do? What do you make of the coaching world in the NBA right now? Like, what are we supposed to understand by the moves that some of these teams make and the quick trigger they have on these seemingly really, really good coaches who may have just run into a buzzsaw of another team? You know, I'm watching Nick Nurse right now hold up a jersey as he's now hired as the 76ers coach. But this is a guy who was the player, the coach of the year in 2020 and is out of a job this year and finds himself kind of back in that coaching carousel, obviously. And then Doc Rivers, one of those guys, too. I think a lot of people look at and go, what a great coach. And then ousted, you know. And so it's like lots of coaches. What do we make of that? Like, is there a total shift that's happening now? It's just like this, we don't even wait for a year or two. We get you right out of here. And what does that do for the game of basketball? It can't be great.
No. Great. It's definitely kind of a fad right now. But I would say that, you know, windows, winning championships, those windows are getting tighter. I think after the collective bargaining agreement, most recent one, and contract lengths, you can't tie up guys for as long. You know, I think that that's definitely something that plays into it. So you want to have the best chemistry you can have, and you want to be able to have a coach that can lead the particular talent you have. And so I think maybe that's part of it. You know, certainly, everybody wants to win one. And so elusive and so difficult to do. But, I'm with you. I don't know that firing coaches after a year or so removed from winning the championship is always the best thing in the long run.
That's funny how fickle everything is. I wonder, too, sometimes with the coaches, if it's pairing up the right coach with the right talent you have and just, you know, hoping that you get the most out of it.
You get a new executive in. Yeah. Maybe it's not the guy they hired, all that. I mean, it all goes into consideration.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, everything's just on a faster cycle. And so I think, this is just shrapnel. You know, this is just kind of a result from all that stuff.
Yeah, it probably makes it easier when you do get fired. You go, it's kind of the way things are these days. I want to go back to your comment about doing your due diligence with players in the draft. And it always fascinates me, you know, how to evaluate a player and what goes into it. What are some of those things that coaches and GMs do in their due diligence that maybe we don't know about? What are some things that kind of really help you evaluate and get a good read on a guy that maybe folks aren't aware of?
Yeah, I think it's pretty well known, you know, out there by many that guys are brought in for workouts, and, you know, there's an interview process that kind of goes on there. I think the thing that I was probably the most surprised about when I got in a position where, you know, we had guys that were playing for us that were being considered for spots in the league. I think the number one thing is just how thorough they are, how far down the roster they go. And almost to take every kind of situation into account, you know, maybe guys that wouldn't even have a chance, but they want intel. And, you know, I think after a season of being around a group of guys, you know, they feel like you've got a great read on their character. And I think character is obviously another huge thing. You're going to install you're going to give a whole lot of money to this young player, and you need them to be, you know, responsible, have good character. Obviously, we're watching that with John Morant right now in real time, how difficult it is when you stray and all the problems that can cause the player, the organization, the city, everything. So I think I was really surprised because the first guy that called me, it was scout from the Hawks, I believe, when I became an assistant, you know, as the season ended, our season ended. And he's like, hey, I need to book some time with you to talk about so-and-so. I think 45 minutes would probably do it. And I was shocked. Wow. But he went through a list of questions asking me what their favorite food was. Are they, you know, do they eat healthy? Do they not eat healthy? What kind of, you know, what's their wife like if they're married? I mean, it was nuts. So pretty amazing the intel that goes into all that stuff.
Fascinating.
It's crazy to see what they want to know about these guys, too. Tim Lacombe, he's the coach. You can, of course, hear him on the pre, half, and post game shows on the Jazz Radio Network. He does a fantastic job. He and Jake do awesome. They were just showing, too, and I thought about you on this one, too. They were doing kind of a sweeping shot. They were doing kind of a little bit of a, the Denver metro area. They gave some shots of, you know, the mountains around and blah, blah, blah. And then they showed Red Rocks, and I went, ooh, I bet Tim's been to Red Rocks. And then I started to think, what was your first concert, and what was your best concert?
Okay, so in order, no, I have not been to Red Rock.
Oh, we got to go, dude. We have got to go.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. We got to do that. But I've not been there. I'd love to go. A guy in my band actually played there, so that's kind of cool in a show. But I think my first concert ever was Night Ranger. Up at Park West.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hey.
You're speaking Scott's language now, baby.
Sister Christian. That's music right there.
In a rainstorm, you know, Jack Blades was crooning up there, and the rain was coming down. It was a beautiful night. I think that was my first. And then, you know, best, I tell people this all the time. It's like I'm such a huge music person that it's impossible for me to pick, but I will tell you that I went and saw Aerosmith down in Vegas a couple of years ago, and I waited till the very last minute and got some tickets, and they were, you know, right on the stage, basically right next to it. And so I was thoroughly entertained for a good amount of time watching those guys put on a great show. I love classic stuff. I like vintage stuff. I like classic rock, right? So those guys that was quite a night.
Growing up in Seattle, you know, we got to see some pretty cool stuff. The Neptune Theater in the U District. I got to go see Pearl Jam there when I was like 17. But my first concert ever.
Wow.
Depeche Mode at the American Airlines Center. We used to be Reunion Arena down in Dallas. So when I was a kid in Texas, my older siblings dragged me to Depeche Mode. So I don't know. I've got quite the range there. But the Gorge in Washington, the Columbia River Gorge as a venue, also really amazing. But we got to hit Red Rocks, man. That's
yeah, I've heard my Zag guys, Mark Few and Jack Leddy, they used to wear the Gorge out. So I've heard all about that, too. That's on my bucket list, that and Red Rocks. But I got to drop a shameless plug for the Party Hounds, and you guys will be there, I know, both of you.
Are you guys going to be at Velour? What's going on? Where are you guys going to be?
Yeah, we're at Velour August 4th and 5th. Tickets should be going here pretty quickly. And I have had it confirmed that my guy Chad Lewis is going to get up and play a little song prior to us coming out. So, legendary guy. So we need everybody there. You know, we need to sell that thing out for a couple nights. We did the last time we were here. Let's do it again. So,
what are the dates?
Go to Velour to get the tickets.
Tell me the dates again for the Velour.
August 4th and 5th.
There you go. August 4th and 5th. Party Hounds. At Velour. If you've never, I've played a couple of gigs at Velour down when I was during my BYU days. I love that place. Honestly, the small town, the Provo band gigs that are there, it's gotten so cool. It's gotten so much better. So we're looking forward to it, Tim. Thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it.
I love being with you. You guys have a great weekend, all right?
There you go.
You too. Thanks, Tim. McComb.
All right. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got a lot going on here on the program still as well. Boy, these finals are getting a ton of – I mean, I'm starting to get excited about it. I know ESPN's just doing their job making it look like this is going to be a fun series. But I can't help but root for the Nuggets. And I know they're not the underdogs, but, I mean, the Heat have won multiple championships. Eric Spoelstra has taken this Heat team to multiple championships.
The Heat is on.
And they've won them. And I like the idea of a guy like Mike Malone who, you know, I've had a little bit of a love-hate relationship with Mike Malone because he dissed on Salt Lake at one point. Can't do that and get away with it, you know. And I know that's mostly just a Denver versus Salt Lake thing, and they feel jealous because they know that we look the way that people think that Denver looks, and it doesn't because it's a plains city. I mean, it's basically Nebraska West. That's what I call Denver, Nebraska West. Okay. It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go get it! Let's go!
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium Grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
What is that?
And, the other guy. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell.
Any old NFL roundup?
I was kind of disappointed in the Ted Lasso final episode. And
did you see that, Jeremy?
Oh, well, I'm not going to talk about it.
We have so many people listening. Don't spoil it.
Well, I know. We're not going to spoil it.
I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it. Now, I'll just say this. I watched this this video on YouTube explaining the finale of Ted Lasso, and after hearing it,
you kind
of
got on board.
I was like, you know what? You're right.
Okay.
So I'm actually more on board with the final episode of Ted Lasso than
what's
I
that whiteboard you're right now? Well, this is my moron board.
That's my moron board. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. This moron board is what I write on to get my best ideas. My moron board.
I'm telling you, I in a series, the series is 10 out of 10. You know what I mean? In terms of just like the way.
Love it. Yeah.
But even in a 10 out of 10 series, you're going to have episodes that are 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
But it's the overall thing of what the series was. And for me, it was something that TV lacks in 2023, which is overwhelming positivity. Yeah. This life kind of does. People are so freaking grumpy. And they can't. It's like you can't make a good show. Shows that have become the most popular on TV are reality shows where everybody's fighting most of the time.
Yeah.
Like train wrecks. Ooh, I love that. Love that conflict.
Yep.
Or, you know, murder shows, right? You know, the
true crime,
yes,
police.
Yeah. 48 hours, blah, blah, blah. Dateline. Thanks, Daybells. Appreciate it.
Cold podcast.
The cold podcast. Take a listen to KSL podcast. All right. Now, at least Dave does a job of like, at least Dave Colley does a job of like giving you all the information. And doesn't say you need to feel X or Y, right? About
but
things.
They're popular. They're very
popular.
They
are, yes. And so Ted Lasso, if you would have told me in 2023, like, or when I was a kid, that in 2023, you're like, you're going to watch this show. Every seventh word or so is the F-bomb, but man, you're going to be uplifted.
Yeah, you have a point.
It's kind of weird, and I don't know how to explain it to people except for tons of cusses, and you feel really good about it. Anyway,
I think people deep down, when they just need to release some frustration, probably say more cuss words than they
willing to admit.
Yeah.
And some people
I'd say when they're by themselves,
willingly admit that they swear a lot. What's your level of swearing, Alex?
I try not to break out the big ones, you know? Yeah.
Keep those
to a minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found that when I played football, I swore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my grandma actually got mad at me once.
I told you my dad watched me do it one time during practice.
And it was on Monday Night Football. My grandma to my aunt said, "Did he say what I thought he said?" My aunt said, "Nope, he said vacuum."
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
No, because, you know.
So after that, I covered my face with a towel.
Right. Well, on turf, you know, you can't just like, you know, if there's something on the turf, you got to vacuum it up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Vacuum.
I remember just,
you know what, I'll just replace like it with that.
We're swearing up a storm. It's like, captains, tell your team, you know, try to motivate your team here. We're playing our, you know, crosstown rivals who we'd never beat. And I just lay into a tirade about Mariner High School, our crosstown rivals in Washington. Yes, tons of that. My dad, and it's like, all right, and my dad didn't come to practice a lot. He went to every game, but he went to a practice for some reason that day. And as soon as we, like, broke the huddle down, we were like, everybody's went home, I look, and my dad's standing there, and he's just shaking his head. And I went, ooh, I don't know if Bishop Keery's a fan of this. I'm going to go ahead and stay over at Ben's
house. We used to play board games, mm-hmm. like my whole family, parents, everyone.
Yeah.
When we got older and moved out, we'd all come back.
Yeah.
And my dad, he got mad.
Oh, he got, yeah.
We're
oh,
playing
yeah.
Risk, and someone tried to take him out. And
freaking Eastern Europe.
And he got mad at him. It's like, you're not playing the game the right
blanking
way. That ended board games.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And guess what? Never played him again after
really?
That. Nope. No. Nah.
Yeah. I quit
swearing. Swearing ended board
I
games.
I quit playing board games with my wife because she was so freaking competitive. I couldn't do it. Like, it was a real problem at the beginning of our marriage. We'd go to bed mad.
Yeah.
Because she beat me at Monopoly. But I'd be like, I think you were cheating because you were the banker. Board she's games the banker because she has her degree in finance.
Right.
So you don't want to argue with the resume.
Right.
But at the same time.
Board games are the number one cause of divorce in America today.
Probably. All right. Scott, NFL roundup. NFL stories happening year-round. I don't know why we have this obsession. I think it's because we get very bored because it's June 1st,
right?
But Tom Brady had to clarify again that he is not playing football in the NFL. Can we just be done? And part of it's his own problem. I know people complain and they go, dude, stop bringing up the Tom Brady thing. Don't beat the dead horse here.
You know what the problem
but
is?
But he's the one who came out of retirement after retiring last year. And so now we don't know what to think. And the guy is such a weirdo about competing that you could see him coming out of retirement at any given time, even when he's 50.
So you have
the longevity thing and the fact that the guy's already gone back on his word once. And we're jaded, man.
Well, and the other problem, Alex, is he looks good. I think he looks better now than when he was younger. I mean, Tom Brady looks good. And you look at, like, you know, just take Chris Sims' list of quarterbacks, and you're like, there's a lot of garbage out there. Like, they're saying Tom Brady at 50 would be a whole lot better than the options
we got. Deshaun Watson's number 9 in the league? I don't freaking think so.
Well, Daniel Jones is 11?
I don't blankin' think so.
I mean,
we got to time that out right. Jeremy, you ready? I don't think so. It's a family show. That's why we edited it out. That is the dumbest thing we've ever done.
I just want to swear and just see if Jeremy actually picks it up.
No, I don't. I don't want you to. I've got a family to feed over here.
Do you want me responsible for your jobs?
We are responsible for our jobs most of the time. But I don't want Jeremy to be the one. I do trust Jeremy to hit the button because it's also him whose hand is hovering over that red button.
We got to do these safety checks from time to time.
No,
make
we
sure
do not. No.
On his,
you're getting
on
that
his
mixed
game.
Up. You're getting that mixed up with like actual EASs. It's like, you know what? We got to make sure people know if there's emergencies. Also, stay on your toes. Blankety, blankety, blank. Did we get those, Jeremy? Did we cut it? Like, I'm not interested in that.
Sorry, is it a phone call calling somebody?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. But see, again, we've made some weird compromises because you listen to podcasts and you're like, you listen to the radio and you go, oh, my goodness, you can't say any of those words. You go on podcasts and it's like bleepity blankety bleep, and then you go, wow, what an uplifting podcast. It's like Ted Lasso. We've been really desensitized to some bad words. All right. Anyway, what I'm saying is Tom Brady fans, settle down. He's not going to come out of retirement.
He's not going to blink and come out of
retirement. I am shocked, though. Why are you coming back to the broadcast booth in 2024, though, if you're Tom Brady?
I don't understand. I don't either. And
why
and,
wait so long? At that point, well, like, aren't you bored out of your mind?
Well, not only bored, people are going to forget about him. I mean, he sits out
for
a year.
We are like that. We are like that.
I know people are going to go, oh, you're going to put him in the booth now?
All it's going to do is Greg Olson's going to keep getting better and better, and then at some point you're going to go, Tom Brady is the GOAT at playing quarterback, but he is not the GOAT broadcaster.
All right, hold on. Is this a fan? We're watching television here, and there's someone in like a wife beater T-shirt.
That is not a fan.
With a hat on backwards.
No.
Shooting three-pointers.
No, I know this guy from the Nuggets, and he's in the background, so it looks like I know you think he's not.
Wow.
I know you think he just is, but yeah, I don't know if I'd wear that in the warm-ups because it looks like he just.
It does not. It's not a good look.
It looks like you just showed up and you're like, it's Aaron Gordon, dude. It's Aaron Gordon.
Oh.
But he's ripped. Aaron Gordon's pretty ripped. And then, yeah, he doesn't look like, but see, now that he just popped out from behind Woj's head, you can see his warm-ups and his shoes. You can tell he's a big dude. So,
Right, so it's just not some fan.
It's not just,
who
it's
won
not
some
just,
like experience.
No, it's not
to
some
go
random
down on
dude.
The
it's Aaron Gordon.
Court and actually.
It's not some, it's a random dude. It's Aaron Gordon. He plays a lot. Okay. Oh my goodness. Next up on the NFL roundup here. So, did you see that? So, does what's his name still own that arena team? Antonio Brown? He's offering Cam Newton. Did you see this, Jeremy? He's offering Cam Newton, you ready for the salary per year? $150,000 to come play for his Arena Football League team. Yeah, exactly.
$150,000 to play Arena Football is that's a
well to play
that's
arena
an upper echelon.
Sure.
That's an upper echelon salary.
It's
is that a guaranteed salary? Is there a signing bonus at all?
Let me just tell you right now, with the history of this Arena League team that has not made payroll like four out of like the last 9 weeks, nothing is guaranteed.
So what's the team? Where is the team located?
It's in New York, isn't it? Yeah, it's in Albany. It's upstate New York. The answer is no, by the way. If you're me, if I'm Cam Newton, I'd go, no freaking way, man. No way am I doing this. I don't care if Antonio Brown is offering me $150,000 a year.
Monty Williams agrees to a 6-year, $78 million contract with the Pistons.
You know what? Good for the Pistons. You know why? They fired Monty Williams in Phoenix, and they probably didn't need to fire Monty Williams in Phoenix. Right? The thing is that when these coaches do the coaching carousel thing, when Nick Nurse goes from Toronto to the 76ers, and, you know, I'm assuming that Doc Rivers is going to end up at probably a bigger name program. I honestly thought, I don't know, have they figured out a Suns head coach yet? That's going to be Doc Rivers probably, right? They're just switching guys around. Yeah. The coaching carousel is going around. Because he's going to go, would he be interested in coaching Devin Booker and Kevin Durant? I mean, obviously Chris Paul was with him at the Clippers, so maybe there's something there, but I don't know. But this is great because Monty Williams is a good coach. And the Detroit Pistons can't get it out of their own freaking way. And so I think that's why this is a good pickup for them. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. More to go. We have our two-minute drill that you don't want to miss and much more. Stay with us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And now, a look at traffic from the KSL Traffic Center.
Time for check of traffic on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keering. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports fans, welcome back. Unrivaled 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Carey. That music means only one thing. That's the two-minute drill. That's where we hurry up, talk about a lot of things very quickly because we don't have a lot of time, so we got to hurry. Once we're done, we get to go home happy because we get a participation trophy because that's what we get every day on our show for participating. USC fans, Alex, are apparently upset. Would you like to know why?
Not particularly. Like, I mean, I I assume it's probably just something not worth whining about, but they'll find a way.
So,
but if there's relative discomfort to them, then yes, I want to hear why.
So apparently, any game that USC is going to play on Peacock is unacceptable to them. And then they are. This is when they're in the Big Ten, so they're big. They're Big Ten-ing the Big Ten before they've even gotten there.
So wait. So the Peacock has a deal with the Big Ten then?
Yeah.
So one of those deals they have is with the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Now, I would assume if you are the Big Ten, the teams that go on Peacock are probably your Rutgerses, your Minnesotas.
They have Washington, Michigan State this year.
Washington, Michigan State? Oh, that's, they played at Washington last year, so they're going to be up there in East Lansing.
Just, Alex, you need $5 to watch that game.
No, so. I get it. You know why I get it? Because we're roped into a contract with Cabletown.
So the fans apparently are like, they're upset. We've been dealing with the Pac-12 network and getting, so the only games they're saying that can be on the Peacock network is if USC's playing like San Jose State, Nevada. That's Nevada. The only games.
This is going to be a real rude awakening to them.
How many teams are the Big Ten then now?
How many teams are going to be the Big Ten when they're there? Is it 16?
16.
When they're there, it's 16.
Okay, so how
this is the world of a 16-team conference. You've got to spread it around a lot of freaking TVs.
Yeah. You'll be lucky to get on national television.
By the way, Big Ten, if you think this is annoying, wait till they're actually in the conference.
Yeah.
Talk about like the amount of complaining they do and the amount of we're the most important. They might be the third most important or fourth most important football program in the conference when they show up there. They're bar none number one when they're in the Pac-12. But Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State all have an argument as to why they're more important than USC in the Big Ten. I think, right?
Yes. Well, what I'm curious about with USC is what do they do? Because they're going to play Stanford still. They're going to play Notre Dame, right? I don't know how they figure all that in. But those will be on the Peacock.
The Peacock.
The Peacock.
Sound like my mom.
Yeah.
Now, I have the Peacock. Is that a...
We were talking earlier about these coaches in the NBA getting fired.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens has confirmed that the Boston Celtics will... retain Joe Mazzulla.
I thought you were going to say part ways. I was about to go nuts.
Brad said he's a terrific leader.
Is he?
And he'll only get better at anything that he can learn from this year.
I was looking at some of these
numbers.
He's
consistently trying to learn.
Good for them. Good for them. I'm glad they're not just going to bail out immediately. Brad Stevens is a smart guy.
Yeah.
You know, the LIV Tour is quite interesting because there's just a bunch of money that they're throwing at some pretty good golfers. Insane amounts of money. Doesn't feel like that's what the worth should be, but if they're paying him, then that's the worth. So soccer's doing the same thing. So Lionel Messi, who's not going to play for Paris next year, this Saudi league has now upped their offer to him. Do you know what it is?
Oh, boy. What is it?
$600
million. $600
million.
Now, is that paid out all at once? Or is that
over
time?
I think with them, it probably would be.
They just pay it out. They go, here you go.
But that's for a year.
Wait, $600 million for a year?
Yes.
For 1 year.
For 1 year. Now... They already just they just.
Well,
put
don't
down
they have a salary cap, or don't they have something? Or
do the Saudis have a Do they have a cap on anything? There's no cap on anything. The oil, you don't cap the oil. You got to keep it going. But you know what? So,
do you think the Saudis are ever going to let global warming take effect? I mean, kind of throws a wrench in the old oil industry, doesn't it?
Yeah, not anytime soon. They're finding all sorts of new dinosaurs buried under the ground there. So, but they just offered another guy. So Benzema, who was the Ballon d'Or, which is basically the MVP of the soccer world in 2022, he's going over for a reported 2 years, $300 million.
Do you know who Tracy McGrady is?
Yes, I do.
He said he would take himself in his prime over Nikola Jokic.
That's a tough one. You've put a couple qualifiers in there. One... Dude, when I was good, put me up against anybody. And nobody is going to be able to, one, test it. And two, how many MVPs did Tracy McGrady win?
Yeah.
Zero.
I'm taking the Joker, man.
All day. Even... All the players who are playing now are like, Tracy McGrady, you are the 10th best player in the league at your prime right now. Like, against these guys right now. No way. Okay.
There you go.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 the KSL Sports. And final segment of the show, final segment of the day. We'll be back again tomorrow. We're going to be at the warehouse tomorrow from 3 to 6. Tom Kroll's place down there in Salt Lake, 1825 South 300 West. So join
Tom
us
Tom will be there. He's talked to Tom this week.
Nice. Yeah. Good. It'll be good to see Tom.
Well,
bro.
I want one of these.
I don't understand what we're doing with technology.
I want
days.
One of these just to wear around.
Oh, you know what? I like your style.
I think this is amazing.
This
is the most amazing technology since face masks.
I feel like this is going to make it. Like my kid asked for. So kids ask for helmets these days. Remember when you were a kid? You didn't ask for a helmet. Dad, buy me a helmet.
I did.
Well, you probably did.
My own help in high school.
In high school, yes. Yeah. But like Pee Wee football, like my kids now, they go, hey, can I get the Speed Flex? I'm like, no, you're in sixth grade, man. So, but this I want. The LSU Tigers are now unveiling a new helmet that has built-in air conditioning. This sounds like a hoax.
No.
This sounds like April Fool's Day. LSU's going to wear air-conditioned helmets for all of its practices and games in 2023. But you can't go back. You can't. This is the single thing that will keep kids from going into the transfer portal. This is what you get. You get this one and your team goes.
I tell you, it's an equalizer when you're one of those teams that has to go to one of those misty places.
How does it work? Does the compressor drip down your neck? That actually might be nice too, though.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
I don't get how this freaking works.
Yeah, a little cool towel feeling on your neck.
I'm looking at the video here, and I'm trying to have them explain this. It just looks like a normal helmet. It has a freaking air conditioner.
What if you turned it too low and you got, like, the brain freeze?
Yeah. What if you, like, during the middle of the game, you call up and go, hey, we're having issues here. They have the HVAC guy on the sidelines.
The player goes down.
They have Vance refrigeration guy coming out.
Got a magical emergency here.
Listen, official HVAC people that service the helmets on the
bring
sidelines.
Bring out my condensing coils.
Right. The Whipple plumbing guy runs out on the field for BYU. I mean, that's an amazing plug right there. All right. Air-conditioned helmets, that's where we've gotten. This is no joke. LSU is wearing them for every practice and every game this season. All right, for Scott, I'm Alex. Jeremy hitting the buttons. Want to say thank you. We'll be back again tomorrow, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.